Dear brothers and sisters, as written in Exodus 23:16, also you shall observe the feast of the harvest of the first fruits of your labors from what you sow in the field. The feast of harvest is a time to give thanks to God for the first harvest of the year's crops. Although we no longer live in an agricultural age, it's a day to remember with gratitude that God has protected us spiritually and physically and allowed us to bear fruit. Even though it's the farmer who sows and cultivates the seed, it's God who gives sunlight, rain, and brings forth the harvest. No matter how much effort and labor we invest in our lives, it's God alone who enables us to reap the fruit. Always remember this truth and live each day with thanksgiving. The feast of harvest of the first fruits happens in the middle of the year. It's a time to review the first half of the year in the grace of God and to welcome the second half with renewed determination. As you look back on the past 6 months, what kind of fruit have you borne? You likely started the new year making resolutions and promises before God. You may have resolved to not neglect prayer this year, cast away irritation and outbursts of anger, become sanctified, bear fruit, or diligently evangelize and bring about revival. There may have been many other commitments too. You may have had prayer topics for the new year and heartfelt desires wishing to be fulfilled both spiritually and physically. Check how many of your resolutions and desires have been accomplished. Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived, God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. If you have set your heart on a desire in Christ and faithfully acted to fill it, God will certainly cause you to reap fruit. Even if it has not yet fully matured into a complete harvest, your heart will be filled with joy and thanksgiving, believing that the fruit will soon come forth. You will continue pressing on without wavering. Now, halfway through the year, in order to have revival and grow, you need time for the harvest to mature into great fruit. And you may look at other people and compare yourself and comment how other people have borne fruit faster than you when you have started earlier. But don't rush yourself. Perhaps you haven't started earlier than others. There is always a time for wait. For patience, of course, it doesn't mean to let everything go and not do anything. You must always check yourself and see whether you are doing the right actions in harvesting and cultivating your fruit. Are you only wanting to give glory to God? Or are you wanting to look good in front of people and boast to other people? What kind of heart do you have before God? If you have a heart that's wanting to look good before people, then perhaps that's the kind of heart that God wants you to change. It's important to believe in God and to wait in the Lord. And just because you don't have fruit doesn't mean that you cannot give thanks. When you give thanks from the bottom of your heart, you can bear fruit. Halfway through the year, I encourage you to examine your faith and fruit through today's message. It's a mid-year review. How has your life been for the past six months? Of course, you have the rest of your life that you also need to reflect upon as well, but let's just look at the closest 6 months of this year. How many of your resolutions have you accomplished? And there are times where people just give up and they get lazy after a certain amount of time. Always look back on yourself and see how much you've given up and how much you've continued and put in effort. If you feel that your actions have fallen short of the goals you set at the beginning of the year, and perhaps it could be laziness, or it could be because you have set such a big goal for yourself that it's too hard for you to accomplish. Reflect on the reasons why and consider how you should act with the remaining time. Most of the time, it is due to laziness, but there could be other reasons why you have not accomplished your resolutions or perhaps given up halfway. And I hope that you can look back on yourself and find the reasons why and fix it. I pray in the name of the Lord that you will sow and cultivate more diligently and reap an abundant harvest of fruit at the end of the year. Psalm 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. A farmer goes out into the field to sow and cultivate the crops, enduring tearful hardships with the hope that in due time they will be reaping of joy. In faith, you diligently labor to sow and cultivate before God, as you believe that's what's sown will surely be reaped in due season. You sow seeds through prayer, offerings, and various acts of faith. So what seeds have you been sowing so far? Each person has desires, and you may have sown seeds in order to fulfill those desires. Yet first and foremost, you should have been sowing for the kingdom of God and His righteousness. We looked at the example of a farmer going out into the field, and of course, we're not in an agricultural age nowadays. But if you think about it, the farmer goes out to sow with hope that there'll be reaping of joy. Despite there being tearful hardships, they look for the end, they look at the goal, they look at the hope. And right now, we're looking at Christianity in your life of faith. But in everyone's day-to-day lives, there may have been times where you endure tearful hardships in the physical world as well. But despite all that, it's important for you to look back on yourself and see your goal. What is your end goal? What are you reaping for? Perhaps you are the breadwinner of the family. Perhaps you are a couple and you live diligently and you try and serve each other. And now you're living a life, a stable life with a good family. Do you think that's it? Are you happy with just having a good physical life? What about your spiritual life? Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Anyone who has faith and loves Father God will naturally seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. For the sake of God's kingdom and righteousness, for the church, for souls, you pray with tears and sow various kinds of seeds in faith through service, devotion, offerings, and other faithful acts. Sowing and reaping in different ways could be seen as very similar, but it depends on your heart, it depends on the environment, depends on the circumstance. What kind of heart are you sowing and reaping with? Is it for other people? Is it for your own goal? Is it for your own personal self? Perhaps you are not a leader of a district, but you are sowing for the district's benefits. Perhaps you're not a Sunday school teacher, but you're putting in other efforts to sow for the children of God. Perhaps it's through offerings, perhaps it's through volunteering acts. perhaps you're looking around for people that are weary and in poor circumstances and giving charitable acts. You need to check yourself. If you're one of those people who think that they're doing the best they can for God's kingdom, look at your heart. How much of it is really for God's kingdom and righteousness from the bottom of your heart? If you've been seeking, when these people are seen by God, their faith and love are recognized. First, God causes the soul to prosper and all things to go well, enabling the reaping of abundant fruits of blessing. But if you have been seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness in your own way and faithfully sowing seeds, yet haven't reaped a harvest to the extent you hoped, what could be the reason? It's because there's a proper method to sowing and cultivating seeds. Let's look at three principles so you can check how you have sown the seeds of faith and cultivated it. The three principles are three large principles. We're not going more in depth into each principle. It's just three overarching ideas. But through these principles, you need to check whether it's a proper method of sowing and cultivating before God or whether you've been sowing and cultivating because you wanted to in your own way. Perhaps you have been volunteering, you've been devoted, you've been diligent for God's kingdom, but you don't pray. You don't sanctify yourself. Some people think that they're not good at praying and they're not good at sanctifying themselves. So they put all that energy into just being diligent for God's kingdom by volunteering, giving charitable acts, offering to God. But you can't put all your effort into one area and consider it to be done. You need to be able to fill all areas. A car has four wheels. If you only use two of them, it's not going to run as well. You must have all four wheels to move. Perhaps you are a person who prays really well and sanctifies yourself, but you don't care about other people. Then that's also another issue that you need to look at. Instead of looking at each principle in detail, we're looking at the overarching idea. First, in order to sow seeds and reap fruit in faith, it's important to entrust everything to God who makes the harvest. 1 Corinthians 3 verses 6 to 7, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but God who causes the growth. Even though a farmer plants seeds in the field, waters and tends to it diligently, it's not human power that makes the seeds sprout or bear fruit. It's accomplished solely by the power of God. It's important to remember that God makes you reap the fruits of blessing, not only in farming, but in every aspect of life. So you should entrust all things to God. For example, if you're a church worker, you would have likely experienced this even while overseeing a small event. From meeting the necessary people, securing a venue, having many people participate and receive grace, to details like weather and good audio systems, there's a great difference depending on whether God is working with you or not. If you have not made the effort in the first place, then you haven't even sown the seed and can't expect God's help from the beginning. Even when you exert great effort but rely on human preparations rather than entrusting matters to God, you will often see less fruit compared to the effort harvested, to the effort invested. What seemed certain and the most easiest way to bear fruit is to pray. And for example, you've got events in the church that come every year, once every year. Perhaps with our summer retreat as well, you may find yourself just going through the motions, especially if you've booked the venue every year for a few years in a row and just leave everything as is without putting in effort. Work together on behalf of God's kingdom in order to find ways to make the summer retreat even better than last year. Working with church members, having meetings, these are all fabulous ways to make the summer retreat better the next year so that all attendees can receive grace more so than last year. To make it a more joyful event. But this is just a physical way of having meetings. It's a physical method of preparing for the summer retreat. You must also pray. And there are times when you have meetings that you may clash with certain people. It's important to leave everything in God's hands, pray, and also find peace in the Lord in order to achieve God's kingdom in the spiritual sense. Even if you exert great effort but rely on human preparations rather than entrusting matters to God, you'll often see less fruit compared to the effort invested. So what seems certain to succeed from a human perspective may ultimately fail and bring difficulties. This is when you accomplish only what your ability allows rather than receiving help from God. When you entrust matters to God, you receive remarkable prosperity even in the smallest details. Romans 9 verse 16, so then it does not depend on the man who wills or the man who runs, but on God who has mercy. The same principle applies to all things. Whether you become sanctified, evangelize, bear fruit through fulfilling duties, or accomplish other tasks, it is God who ultimately brings it to pass. Are you getting frustrated because you're not being sanctified? Perhaps you're trying to do it all yourself instead of leaving it and trusting it to God. Are you praying? How much are you praying with the spiritual power from God? How much are you praying in the Lord? Perhaps you're only praying the way you want to pray. Let's say you have a complicated matter and you clash with someone else and you're complaining about that person. Then if you are the one praying and not relying on God, then perhaps you're praying and complaining at the same time. Perhaps you're asking God to avenge you. Perhaps you're praying to God to make other people not misunderstand you, to obey you. Instead of these prayers, you need to look back on yourself and check what it is that you need to change in order for peace to arrive. What are you lacking? What are your shortcomings in that you are not able to achieve peace with people? Are you only grumbling to God from start to finish in your prayers and saying how you are not changing? Why are you not changing? Why are you not transforming? But if you're praying and a few months later you check yourself and see how much you've changed, then perhaps these are the benefits of your spiritual prayers. If you pray with love, with faith, then God can help you. How much in your Christian life, in your life of faith, are you entrusting to God, not just in prayers, but in your daily lives? But it's important not to misunderstand the truth entrusting things to God does not mean passively standing by and letting matters unfold on their own. Some people neither sow seeds nor make any effort or labor to reap a harvest, yet simply say that everything will happen according to God's will. This is not the same as entrusting things to God in faith. Those who truly entrust matters to God in faith first accumulate fervent prayer, establish a foundation of faith upon which God can work. These people also listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, receive guidance, and walk the path by God. Rather than thinking you're the one who accomplishes things, believe that God is the one who accomplishes all and pray accordingly. Your role is simply as instruments, to obey as instruments. Whilst praying for revival, world missions, or the grand sanctuary, or if you look at reality and say that now isn't the time, or it can't be done, or it's impossible, then you're not entrusting matters to God. Are you being negative? Then it's not entrusting matters to God. World missions and the construction of the grand sanctuary are clearly missions that God has entrusted to the church. So when you earnestly pray with faith, say that nothing is impossible if God accomplishes it, then it's God who brings all to fulfillment. We pray for the grand sanctuary. We pray for the new sanctuary. And as we pray for the new sanctuary, we have hope for the grand sanctuary. And even though the grand sanctuary is something that's going to happen in the future, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't pray for it. We need to continuously pray for it with hope. And that can be a reward for you in heaven, by praying for the construction of the new and grand sanctuaries. When you entrust all to God, then second is to make sure that you obey in order to bear fruit. The second most important thing is obedience. The reason the Israelites who came out of Egypt were able to experience God's power when crossing the Red Sea on dry ground was due to the obedience of Moses. The people encamped before the Red Sea, and behind them, advancing in pursuit, was the Egyptian army. The Israelites became fearful and grumbled against Moses, yet Moses made a bold confession of faith. Exodus 14, verses 13 to 14. But Moses said to the people, "Do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today will never see, you will never see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." After hearing this absolute confession of faith from Moses, God said in Exodus 14, verse 16, "As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, and the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land." Think about it. Even though God has said these words in Exodus, obeying is your own free will. Perhaps you think that you will obey if God says. And let's think about Moses. Moses has received God's words, and he's standing with the staff, stretching out his hand over the sea and dividing it. But if Moses had fleshly thoughts, thinking, who would obey? Perhaps the Israelites would throw rocks instead of obeying. If there were these fleshly thoughts, then it would have been difficult for Moses to completely obey God's commands. The same principle applies whenever you sow seed in faith. It's only through obedience that power of God is revealed. First, there must be a heart that entrusts and relies upon God. Second, there must be obedient action that follows God's prayer, that follows God's leading through fervent prayer. You must rely on God. Then through prayer, you must obey God's command. The first and second principles must go hand in hand. When you rely and entrust in God, then you must fervently pray. And when you fervently pray, then there must be obedient action that follows God's ways. So when you obey in faith, then God can work. And perhaps sometimes God will work straight away, or it could be that God waits until the very end and continues to see your obedience. It could be just like Naaman in the Bible, where God didn't give an answer straight away, but waited until the end. Answers. Third, it's important to persevere patiently to the very end. When a farmer plants seeds, reaping doesn't happen immediately. Whether rain falls, wind blows, or the scorching sun beats down, the farmer must continue laboring and caring for the crop. At times, damage from storms, drought, or pests can arise. Even then, a farmer looks forward to the harvest season and diligently tends to the crops. There'll be times when there'll be many insects that try and destroy your crops. The weather can destroy the crops. And when that happens, the farmer has to make ways to save the crops. And in Korea, in June, July, there's monsoon season in the summer. And even in summer, before harvest time, there are times when rain, heavy rain falls. And the farmers don't just sit there doing nothing because they know that the rain's going to come and will destroy some of the crops. They'll put in the effort, tie the crops together, make ways, look for devices in order to save as many crops as possible so the rain doesn't destroy the crops. All of this patience, this effort, can lead to bearing good fruit. If you have sown and cultivated the seeds of faith through prayer and acts of obedience, you also need to patiently endure and wait. Once the seed has been planted in faith, you can finally reap its fruit only when you remain unchanged and unshaken in every circumstance. Joseph, the son of Jacob, was sold into slavery in Egypt by his half-brothers. While serving in the house of an Egyptian officer, Joseph gained his master's trust as God prospered him, and he came to serve as the overseer of the household. Just when it seemed like his circumstances had improved, Joseph was falsely accused and thrown into prison. This was the prison where the king's prisoners were confined, a place where there appeared to be no escape. Yet Joseph had a dream. It was a dream that God will guide and raise him to a position of honor. Regardless of his positions, Joseph only pursued what was good before God and faithfully fulfilled his responsibilities wherever he went. Whether 1, 2, 5, or more than 10 years had passed since being sold as a slave, Joseph's heart and conduct remained unchanged. When those 13 years of refinement finally came to an end, Joseph ultimately reaped the fruit that he had cultivated through perseverance. God brought Joseph out of prison and led him before the king. He was elevated to become the prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful nation of the time. Suddenly sold to a foreign land, how could a young boy not have been afraid? How could a youth who had been raised with care and love, not have shed tears during his days of slavery. Joseph faced an uncertain future, unable to see a step ahead. He longed for his father and younger brother. Just as he had earned his master's trust through faithfulness and loyalty, Joseph was suddenly falsely accused and thrown into prison. How distressed would he have been? But even in these circumstances, Joseph did not complain, grumble, or become discouraged. He did not protest and grumble to God that he pursued goodness so faithfully, and that all of these were misunderstandings. In this day and age, a lot of anger and temper and mistrust in the world gives way to illnesses. But with Joseph, he didn't complain. He didn't give up. And we must also not give up either. We must leave everything to God, even if you're in the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death. You need to believe that God will lead you to the safe place, to the right place. And Joseph did not give up. And he did not complain or grumble about the circumstances of his mistreatment. Joseph had faith in God and believed that God was guiding every aspect of his life. He continued quietly to pursue what was good before God and faithfully carried out his responsibilities. Though those long 13 years seemed to offer no light nor hope, Joseph endured each moment with unwavering faith and experienced the work of God in the end. The start of Joseph and the end of Joseph, you might think that there's been a change straight away, overnight. And in order for this 180-degree turn to have happened, you must not forget that there were tears and effort needed and hardships along the way. But some people, they forget and they leave everything to God's hand and think that there won't be any hardships, that there won't be any difficult decisions or events or any tears. But in reality, there is. Even if there are hardships and trials, it means believing in God. It means praying to God. It means relying on God and giving thanks to God no matter what happens. And confessing in faith. But if you don't do any of these in your trials and afflictions and just give up and say that you believe that God will solve everything, that's not true faith. And the same is true for our church to achieve world evangelization, the building of the grand sanctuary, and for transformed believers to fill and enter New Jerusalem. We've spent many years patiently enduring, sowing, and cultivating seeds of faith. Even when circumstances appeared extremely precarious, we didn't doubt the promises of God. Father God demonstrated His presence through His mighty power. And same with myself and with Pastor Meredith Jarrett Lee. We know that God is with us. We know that Almighty God is with us. Do you look at the big waves that are coming before us and complain and grumble how the waves are too large and you're unable to stand firm in the waves? Even if you receive a lot of grace, if you don't look at the light, if you don't look at the hope and only focus on the negativity, only focus on the darkness, then you cannot go past your trials and afflictions in faith. Even for myself, there were times of hardship, times where people kept arguing, fighting. And who would hear my words in those hard times if I were to say, stop fighting, rely on God, have love, have faith? Who would really listen to my words in such a hard time? But instead of looking at the reality before me, the reality that might lead to death or dire circumstances, you hold on to God. You hold on to the God who makes the impossible possible. And even though your current circumstances are unimaginable, dark and negative, seemingly hopeless, you rely on God, you believe in God, and you entrust all to God. Just like Pastor Meredith, Jared Lee, who entrusted everything to God by praying, fasting, in order to receive the Word of God. And we know that God is with us. God shows His miraculous works of power with us. Of course, if God had not shown His miraculous works of power, then it may have been difficult for me to stand on this altar, but God has not stopped. God has continuously shown that He is with us, that He shows His great power. And it's the same. I don't choose the fleshly way. I don't choose the worldly way. I choose God's way, the spiritual way, so that we can become one, that all our church members can become one. And if you look at the time now, after all these years, we've become at peace. We've become settled. We've relied on God. And there have been so many of our church members who have passed through the dark tunnel and come out into the light to the end. And there are some people who say that they have done the best they can, that they've lived a godly life, but they begin to doubt and speak words of complaint when they don't receive fruit in the time or manner desired. They become anxious, wondering, will the answer come today or tomorrow? Then after a few more days pass, they give up altogether. Sometimes people cannot wait for God's timing and try to accomplish things on their own. If a farmer plants a seed and then digs up the soil every 2 or 3 hours to check on it, what will happen to the seed? Or if a sprout only just emerged and someone tries to make it grow faster by pulling it upward, will it grow more quickly? Just as every plant has its appointed time to bear fruit, when we patiently wait for God's timing and quietly do what we ought to do, God chooses the very best time and makes us to reap an abundant harvest. As you listen to today's message, have you taken the time to examine your life of faith? Have you reflected on the first 6 months of 2026? May you correct what's lacking and continue what's been done well, so that when the year comes to an end, you can offer a confession of thanksgiving with abundant fruit. May you give greater glory to the good God with special gratitude in both heart and deed, the God who always protects, provides a way of escape in times of difficulty, and causes every seed sown to bear fruit in its prosperous season. Even if you feel that you've sown and reaped well up until now, don't be satisfied with your present condition. Instead, continue on to greater perfection. Among all the seeds of faith that you've sown, the ultimate seed is the seed of hope for New Jerusalem. As time for the Lord's coming draws near, we must complete our preparation to meet the Lord by quickly accomplishing a truthful heart and a completely inner spirit. Beginning today, may you be strengthened to sow and cultivate the seeds of faith so that by the time Thanksgiving arrives, you can experience the joy of a more abundant harvest. When the Lord finally comes to take us home, I pray in the name of the Lord that the seeds of New Jerusalem, which you have sown with tears, will bear beautiful and glorious fruit in abundance.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revived. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cancel sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.